What is your emergency?
Shots fired.
What is your name?
My name is Anar Spivey.
Yeah, my wife in the army.
I accidentally shot her.
You accidentally shot her?
Yeah.
Houston police. Where you at, ma'am?
Sir?
Yeah.
Back here.
All right, where's the weapon?
Right here.
Stay away from it. I don't want to see it in your hand, you understand? Where's she at?
Okay, what's...
on the floor. Yeah.
Where you
okay.
His leg.
All right.
Shot in the leg.
Okay.
We was arguing, tussling with the gun, and we had been arguing all day.
Okay, go ahead and put your hands behind your back, okay?
Renard Spivey was a longtime deputy sheriff, and the deceased was his wife, Pat or Patricia Spivey.
Spivey, who also worked for a time as a TV judge show bailiff, is now charged with his wife's murder.
There was a lot of publicity because he had been on a very popular reality TV show, Justice for All with Christina Perez.
All rise. Court is now in session.
He was the perfect person in front of everybody else. I think he thought the camera was always on.
When it comes to how your mom died, do you think it was accidental?
No. It didn't make sense. It didn't line up.
The security cameras, how important were the security cameras and the evidence?
I think they were very important. On the surveillance, you clearly hear the three gunshots.
One, two, three.
The prosecution's theory is that he shot her and then shot himself to cover it up.
You don't accidentally shoot someone more than once.
Was the autopsy consistent with an accidental shooting?
Well, ultimately, I guess that's the million-dollar question.
Whose finger was on the trigger?
Who was the aggressor?
She was threatening him with a gun.
If he is the aggressor, then this is a murder. If she is the aggressor, this was either self-defense or an accident.
This is the 9mm gun.
This is the actual gun. It's cocked now. There is no external safety on this gun. And so any slight pull of the trigger would cause it to go off.
There was no single piece of physical evidence that really conclusively pointed towards a particular verdict.
Did you intentionally shoot your wife?
No, ma'am. I love my wife.
Natalie Morales reports, Deputy Spivey on trial.
It was just after 3 a.m. in the warm Houston summer of 2019 when first responders arrived at Renard and Patricia Spivey's home and found 52-year-old Patricia dead in the closet from multiple gunshot wounds.
We can definitely see a wound in her abdomen right there.
Okay. Will it be the entry point?
It looks like it. We don't know if that's the only one, but that's definitely one there. Those signs of life.
Her husband, Renard, had a bullet in his leg. He told officers the two had been arguing and fighting over a gun when it fired.
Where'd you shoot her?
We was tussling in the chest. Okay,
Renard Spivey, a sheriff's deputy with Harris County, worked as a bailiff in courts.
Your deputy, your sergeant, lieutenant?
Deputy.
Okay.
And played a bailiff on TV.
All right.
For Justice for All with Judge Christina Perez.
I'm giving you one more chance to tell me the truth.
Well, they
did
it down here, so yeah.
Renard didn't say much more about what happened. Police detained him and had him transported to a hospital. Patricia's 83-year-old father, who suffered from dementia, was also living with the Spiveys. He was sleeping when the gunshots erupted.
What happened?
You didn't hear anything?
I haven't heard anything.
I know, we just need your statement.
First responders on the scene wondered how a gun could go off multiple times by accident.
If you get shot once, you're not gonna make the gun go off again.
That's what I'm saying.
And why a man of Renard's size, around 6'3" and weighing around 290 pounds, would need to struggle with his smaller wife to take control over a gun.
So you're that big and you're fighting for the gun?
Oh no, but that was a big dude. That's a big dude.
He's got a bunch of trophies inside, bodybuilding trophies.
Bodybuilding?
He's got a call homicide, and it just doesn't make sense, bro.
It was more like, what happened? Because
like I said, Petrina Marshall, Patricia's daughter from a previous relationship, arrived at the scene.
Did my mom do something? Did Renard do something? Like, what did somebody do something to them? Like, I didn't know what to expect.
Petrina says an officer told her her mother had died during a struggle with her husband.
When he told you she didn't make it, had to be very tough to hear that.
It was.
But you held it together.
I don't know. Something really weird happened to me. I don't know. It's just like I just kind of shut down. And everything just became really numb. I still have not cried.
Petrina says she regrets not seeing her mom for one last time.
I just didn't get that. And I'm like, man, so she just sitting in that closet just the whole time. So, oh my God, I'm crying.
Petrina never thought her mother's life would end this way. Her mother fell quickly for Renard.
It was like her first everything. That was her first house.
And it was Patricia's first marriage, Renard's third.
When we met, I did like we kind of hit it off and stuff like.
5 years after Patricia's death, Renard shared with us his feelings for Patricia.
She was a fun person.
I'm living my best life.
She was spontaneous, and she was just a beautiful person.
Renard had popped the question in 2013 after Patricia pointed at a ring she liked at a store.
Right there where the ring was, I said, come here, I'll show you. I proposed, got on my knees and proposed to her.
And if she said yes right away.
She said yes. And we had fun. We celebrated in Hawaii.
And then they built their dream house. A 3,000 square foot home with a 3-car garage. But within a few hours of Patricia's death, Renard found himself under suspicion for murder. At the hospital, detectives wanted to interview Renard, but he refused. He would later tell us why.
At that point, had you already gotten an attorney?
I had a union rep who was an attorney, and he came to the hospital. Union rep, we said, do not talk to him.
While investigators tried to figure out how exactly the shooting unfolded, the medical examiner was conducting an autopsy on Patricia. According to the report, Patricia had multiple gunshot entry and exit wounds, the fatal shot piercing through her lungs and heart. 48 Hours consultant and former prosecutor Lisa Andrews reviewed the case for us.
The multiple shots is definitely what gives everyone a lot of pause as to why it's not an accident. The medical examiner ruled it a homicide, which is an intentional killing.
On July 29th, 2019, Renard Spivey was charged with his wife's murder.
What was that like for you? Now being behind bars for somebody who had been on the other side of the law for so long.
It was tough. It was real tough. What I've been through, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
Renard's twin sister, Renee Spivey Frazier, says she found out her brother was arrested when she got a call from a relative.
And I just couldn't believe what I was hearing because I knew he loved her unconditionally.
Renard's friend, Gerald Graham, who Renard has mentored over the years, couldn't believe it either.
Like, he's the big brother, the father, the uncle.
I just want to thank y'all for all the well wishes.
I have never seen Spivey in any kind of altercation. I've never seen him raise his voice.
Renard Spivey hired prominent criminal defense attorneys, brothers Dick and Mike DeGaren, and Mike's son, Michael DeGaren.
One of the things that we were able to see in this case is they had a camera system in their home, and I watched their relationship.
We wanted to see if there was anything there to provide a motive for wanting her to be harmed or dead, or that there was trouble in the relationship.
It was a very loving relationship, as I could tell.
But yet we know on that night, somebody went to bed angry.
It looked like she went to bed angry. He did not.
Hours after he was charged with the murder of his wife, Harris County Sheriff's Deputy Renard Spivey posted bond, $50,000.
I was in jail probably about a couple of days.
And returned to the house he used to share with Patricia, where investigators believed he intentionally shot her.
When you walk in that door, do the memories come flooding right back?
Well, as soon as you go in the door and then you go in the bedroom, bam, it hits you.
Renard Spivey insists his wife's death was an accident.
I love my wife. You know, I did everything for her. Anything she wanted, I always treated like my queen.
But Renard never gave a statement to police about how the events unfolded that night. And Patricia's family questioned the circumstances around her death and why Renard was free on bond. Patricia's cousin, Sybil Shepherd.
I don't think that his bond was high enough for murder. Being a sheriff, I think he got a lot of privilege in that instance.
Patricia's loved ones call her the caregiver of the family.
She was kind of like the glue. Her being gone, really, you notice it, that she's gone.
She did anything that she could to help people out. And you can see that just from taking care of her dad, you know, just taking on that responsibility.
Patricia worked as an executive assistant for the Methodist Hospital in Houston.
She'd go visit people in the hospital. She would go take them food, send them flowers. If nobody else was thinking of them, she was.
She just was everywhere, helping, taking pictures, giving her time, just real social.
She was very accomplished.
Renard's attorney, Dick DeGaron, says the Spiveys had a good life.
They were very happy. They went on cruises together. Every Friday night, they had a special dinner.
How would you describe Renard Spivey?
I mean, the idea of a gentle giant. His size was, you can't avoid seeing how big he is.
Renard has been a bodybuilder since his 20s. In the aftermath of his wife's death, he was placed under house arrest, but was allowed to continue with his training.
Actually, during that period of time, it was more therapeutic for me because I've been doing it for 40 years. Because that's my love.
He was also free to go to church and spend time with his family, but he resigned from his career of more than 20 years with Harris County Sheriff's Department. His TV career also took a hit.
By the time of Patricia's death, I understand you were still taping.
Yes.
The Justice with Christina Perez show.
Well, before that, we were still taping. Then after that, we didn't do any more taping.
Renard had portrayed the bailiff for 9 years and taped more than 100 episodes.
Right here, sir.
He told us it was something his wife really liked about him.
And what did Patricia think of your television career?
Oh, she loved it. She was excited. And as a matter of fact, I took her to a couple of the Emmys.
Patricia's childhood friend, Ezra Washington, had a small part as an extra on that show and remembered meeting Renard when Patricia and Renard got together.
You recognized him right away from his time.
Renard and Ezra became close friends. But over time, even before Patricia married Renard, Ezra says Renard was controlling with her.
They were at Papado's Friday night. You know, she'd have a few. And he told her, don't drink no more. And she said, why? And he was like, because I said so. And she dumped him.
The couple got back together, but their problems hardly went away, says Ezra, and eventually impacted Patricia's relationship with her cousin, Sybil.
He didn't like Sybil at all. He literally just hated her. She allowed Pat to have freedom. They would go on this cruise every year. And they party, have fun, and they meet people from other parts of the country.
She definitely felt, you know, intimidated by the relationship, you know, that we had.
Sybil says after the couple got married, Patricia distanced herself.
It was more so trying to just put that wedge between the two of us. And it worked. I just backed off from it. I didn't want to come between somebody and their marriage.
It almost seemed like he was jealous of her relationships that he already knew she had. I mean, he
met her. Petrina says her mom and Renard had no business being married. She says their relationship became strained once they moved into their new house.
They argued quite a bit.
What did she complain about with him?
Mainly, it was libido. That he didn't want to sleep with her, and maybe she thought he was taking steroids because his whole demeanor changed and his attitude towards her changed.
Mood swings, mm-hmm. a lot of up and down.
Yes.
Petrina says her mom looked up some of Renard's pills and told her she found proof Renard was using steroids.
In the days leading up to the shooting, did it seem like things had intensified?
Yes.
Renard says he was never controlling with Patricia, but he doesn't deny there were issues in their marriage and says they began about a month before the shooting.
She thought I was on steroids and stuff, and I'm trying to get her to understand that my testosterone was low and I was going to a doctor.
Renard says a doctor had prescribed him testosterone shots.
What about the steroids? Were you taking steroids
well,
at that time?
That was the replacement. It's called replacement therapy. That's not steroids.
Did you feel like your moods were up and down too during the time you were getting those shots? Do the shots affect your mood?
No, never.
Renard had already told police the two were arguing on that fatal night.
And she thought I probably was cheating on her or something because we wasn't intimate anymore.
And what'd you say to her?
I told her, no, that's crazy.
Security footage in the Spivey's home recorded some of the couple's movements.
She is sitting at the table at one point. Right. You walk over to her. What happens?
When I walked over to her, I was getting ready to go to bed. And every time I walk over to her, she'd turn her phone down. And then I was trying to kiss her. I'm not kissing you.
Renard says he was curious why Patricia was hiding her phone from him. After they went to bed, thinking that his wife was asleep, he says he grabbed her phone from her nightstand and brought it into the closet.
I want to see what she was looking at. And so when I grab the phone, I'm thinking she's asleep. I go in the master closet, it's dark, and it wasn't seconds before, pointing the gun at me. Give me my damn phone.
Renard says Patricia followed him into the closet with a gun.
Then when I turned around and saw her finger on the trigger, I was scared for my life. When I turned around, she had the gun pointed at me.
Tension between Renard and his wife, Patricia, turned frightening, he says.
I was really scared because you never put your finger on the trigger unless you're prepared to shoot.
When Patricia threatened him with his gun.
Where do you keep your gun?
On the dresser.
So it's on your side
of
the
side.
Bed?
Yeah.
And is it always loaded?
It's always loaded.
Don't you talk somebody down? Like, as your police training is to de-escalate the situation.
Well, I was afraid because I've never been in a situation like that before. So the best thing I knew in my training is to try to take the weapon away from him.
Renard says he tried to do just that, and things unfolded quickly.
When I grabbed her wrist, I grabbed the top of the weapon. She pulled back with her finger on the trigger, and it went off and shot me in the leg.
So you got shot first?
I got shot first.
Then what happened?
I was in the process of falling down, and when I trying to take the weapon away from him, it went off a couple more times.
Two more times, he says. Patricia was hit in the chest and then hit by another bullet in her arm, as illustrated in the CBS News animation based on defense theory.
We're certain that the first shot that hit her went into her left chest, through her lungs, and into her heart. We think that the second shot that hit her in the right arm and went basically in and out of the bicep and then into her upper right chest.
But former prosecutor Lisa Andrews says it is not certain that only two shots struck her. The medical examiner thought it was possible Patricia's wounds were the result of three shots, one to the left chest, one to the right arm, and a third to her right chest.
There's a lot of controversy about how many times she was actually shot.
One shot is an accident. Three shots?
Well, I mean, that's the question, right?
Investigators pored over the home surveillance. Three gunshots are heard clearly. But authorities suspected Renard actually fired the gun four times. Three bullets fired at Patricia, and then one Renard would have fired at himself, wounding his leg to make it seem that Patricia shot him. Investigators identified one piece of sound. You can hear it over the alarm ringing.
Now this next clip picks up the tap.
They say it's the gunshot, recorded about a minute and a half after the three other shots.
Different sound.
Different sound.
There was a reason they say it sounds different than the others.
Their theory was that fourth sound, was a gunshot in a different part of the house, and that was him shooting himself.
Renard Spivey denies there was a fourth gunshot.
That wasn't you shooting the fourth shot
to then have a cover-up story. No, ma'am.
Renard's attorneys, Dick and Michael DeGaren, also listened to that surveillance tape.
It is not a gunshot.
They say the sound most likely is the click of another camera in the room being activated.
And keep in mind, there were three empty cartridges that were found.
But Lisa Andrews says there were other things that could point to Renard's guilt, like his call to 911.
What is your emergency?
Shots fired.
Okay, sir, is there an actual patient there? Has someone been shot?
Yes, ma'am.
It's pretty calm. The demeanor does look pretty off to me.
Okay, where's the patient?
They on the floor. I'm shot too.
He doesn't say my wife or she. It's an emotional step back from what has happened.
It took Renard 2.5 minutes to say he accidentally shot his wife.
Yeah, my wife had an argument. I accidentally shot her.
It's like he can't bring himself to say what he's done. For him not to reveal that information with 2 decades of law enforcement training, to me that was consciousness of guilt.
But Renard says he wasn't hiding anything.
Well, when you traumatize and see your wife shot and you shot too at the same time, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Where's the gun?
It's on...
You can hear the strain in his voice, so you know he's in pain. He was confused and probably going into shock.
But there are other things on that tape that caught Andrew's attention.
So she is not awake and not breathing normally, sir. We need to perform CPR on her. I said we need to perform CPR on her.
I felt this was also significant. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt he is trained in how to give CPR, perform it. Mm-hmm.
You can hear what sounds like Renard doing chest compressions.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
But a little while later, you can see on the home security cameras, Renard takes a break without mentioning it to the 911 operator.
You need to apply firm direct pressure to your wounds and her wounds, but we still need to continue the CPR.
Okay, ma'am.
He's on the phone with 911, holding the towel on his leg.
Typically, when you're performing CPR, you don't take breaks.
Renard says he went to unlock the garage door to make sure medics could get to his wife as soon as possible.
I came right back and continued the chest compressions.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
He's then heard breaking down.
ma'am.
Never hear, Mrs. Spivey. Just keep going. You're doing great, sir. If you can continue, please continue.
He loved her.
Happy anniversary to you, too, dear.
Happy anniversary to you.
He really loved her.
Renard's twin sister is not surprised her brother was emotional.
She lost her life, and he still, he was hurting.
But Patricia's close friend, Ezra Washington, says just 2 days before Patricia died, she told him she was fed up with Renard's controlling ways and his suspected steroid use, which she blamed for the lack of intimacy in their relationship.
She said, you know what? She said, I'm done. She said, I'm leaving.
Ezra says on the day of the shooting, he had multiple phone conversations with Renard and that Renard told him they were getting a divorce. Ezra claims he confronted Renard about steroids.
I know you're on them steroids. Okay, man, I did. I got some product from my boy because I wanted to get lean for the cruise, but I ain't doing it no more. I said, stop lying.
Ezra says he told Renard to just leave the home, but Renard made a comment about Patricia not getting the house.
I'm sure. I said, man, don't be stupid.
Ezra says he feels guilty for not reaching out to Patricia to warn her that night.
I didn't call. I regret that to this day.
But he told authorities about his conversations with Renard.
I told him everything.
As Petrina and Sybil waited for the case to go to trial, they had arrived at the same conclusion with Ezra, that Renard had intentionally shot and killed Patricia.
It was more or less his actions afterwards. I didn't see any remorse from him.
I don't think it was an accident.
But Renard Spivey's loved ones were convinced he would walk out a free man.
He would never, ever intentionally pull a weapon to kill. I knew him. I knew he was going to get a not guilty verdict.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
As Patricia Spivey's family waited for their day in court, the coronavirus pandemic stalled the proceedings. 4.5 years passed by.
That's not justice.
Renard remained under house arrest, but after some time, his lawyer successfully filed a motion to remove his ankle monitor, and Renard joined the world of dating apps.
I probably was on maybe one or two of them, but, you know, you get lonely. You need, you know, some friends or something like that.
On November 28th, 2023, Renard Spivey was back in court, this time not as a bailiff, but as the accused, facing a life sentence if convicted.
He looked totally different. You know, he wasn't the clean-shaven. You know, he had the gray beard.
The state told the jury Renard shot Patricia intentionally after she threatened to leave their marriage.
The prosecution's theory is that almost like he snapped. He was angry, they were arguing, he was being accused of things by her.
But according to Spivey's attorneys, this was simply a case of self-defense.
Self-defense fits because she was threatening him with a gun and he grabbed her wrist and the gun in his own defense.
They say what happened next was an accident.
It was an unintentional discharge of the gun. Several discharges of the gun. When he told me what kind of gun it was, I'd had experience with that particular model of a Smith & Wesson semi-automatic.
You have it right there.
There is no external safety on this gun. So if someone's finger is on that trigger, all it takes is a slight pressure, and it goes off. With someone that's gripping and trying to wrestle with the gun, that's enough pressure to engage the trigger and to fire the gun.
Dick DeGaren says once fired, the semi-automatic reloads itself instantaneously.
It recharges in split seconds. Each time it's fired, it's ready to fire again.
We went with DeGaren to the doorway of the closet in Spivey's house.
It's a pretty sizable closet. It's like a...
It's a big closet.
Big closet.
Where he showed us what he says happened.
Okay. He saw that she had her finger on the trigger. With his left hand, he grabbed her right wrist.
Okay.
And put his right hand on the top of the gun to force it down. And she pulled back.
And so she shot.
Away from me.
Okay.
And when she did that, it shot, hit him in the left thigh. And as they fell, he grabbed her again and grabbed the gun and tried to twist it out of her hand. Her left hand came off.
Okay, left hand comes off.
And the gun went off again and shot
her in the chest.
Then, DeGaren says the gun went off one more time and the third shot hit Patricia in the arm.
Her hand by that time was in relationship to her body, almost vertical. Mm-hmm. To her body. That's why when the bullet went in, it went in by her elbow, came back out, and went into her chest.
DeGaren says the powder burn mark on Renard's right hand proves he grabbed the gun as Patricia fired.
When the gun fires, this is where the gunpowder that's been fired comes out, and that's what burned his right hand.
But there was something that puzzled the prosecutors, and they raised it at trial.
Where's she at?
She's laying on the floor.
In Renard's telling, he and Patricia were fighting at the entrance of the closet. But Patricia's body was found deep inside the closet. Prosecutors believe it was because he cornered her.
Her body, as I understand.
Her body.
Where did it end up?
Well, it ended up over in about the area that you are. But then after.
And why? How did it end up here?
Because that's where they fell.
Where she fell.
At trial, the defense team painted Patricia as the aggressor. And they point to her internet activity that evening to demonstrate, they say, that her frustration with her husband was building. At 2:49 a.m., Patricia posted this meme on Facebook. Characterize people by their actions, and you will never be fooled by their words. At 2:59 a.m., Patricia is seen on camera for the last time. At 3:01 a.m., prosecutors suspect Patricia had enough, and you can make out her saying the words, "It's the same thing," over and over again. But DeGaren says it is not clear what Patricia really meant.
Maybe that's what she said, but what did it mean? It's ambiguous. What is she complaining about over and over again?
At 3:03 a.m., Renard is seen in the kitchen. And then he goes into the bedroom. 4 minutes later, at 3:07, you hear those three gunshots.
They were in quick succession, inside of 4 seconds.
And at trial, Renard Spivey told the jury his wife Patricia was the one firing.
I didn't pull the trigger.
No. Your fingers weren't on the trigger.
No, ma'am, not at all.
DeGaren says there is no evidence to contradict that. He says that a crime scene technician acknowledged at trial that the trigger was never separately swabbed for DNA.
She said, well, I was afraid that the gun would go off again. Now that tells you how dangerous that gun was.
But Petrina says her mom was not the type of person who would pull a gun on anyone.
My mom is not violent like that. It didn't make sense to me.
Instead, Patrina believes her mom was in the closet that night because she was packing.
I think she was trying to leave that night.
Prosecutors had Ezra Washington tell the jury about those phone conversations with Renard, where Renard talked about his frustrations.
I just want to get him the truth. Everything that came out of his mouth. that I know.
But the prosecutors ran into a problem. They say Ezra told them he spoke to Renard using apps on his phone, and they were unable to find records of those calls. DeGaron says he doesn't believe those conversations ever took place.
Are you saying Ezra Washington then, when he testified, because he was a key witness for the prosecution, was he lying when he talked about those phone calls?
I wouldn't call him a key witness, particularly when we were able to show that there was no record of those calls.
He didn't talk to me. He lied. He didn't talk to me.
I mean, why would he make that up?
I don't know why he would make that up.
And Renard says he had no reason to kill his wife.
Had there been conversations about separation or divorce between you and Patricia?
No.
She hadn't talked about leaving you?
No, no. All that's lies.
As the case went to the jury, no one knew who the jurors were going to believe.
It was tough. People pointing fingers at you, you did it. And I know deep inside that I didn't.
If you were on the jury, what would be the most important evidence in this case? Chat now with the 48 Hours team on Facebook and X.
There are people you are told to trust, lawyers, teachers, especially doctors. But what happens when you put your life in someone's hands and they betray you? The hit podcast Dr. Death is back, and this season is unlike any other. Dr. Death, the cowboy, is the story of a charming neurosurgeon who rode into Western towns selling a persona of confidence and care. He wore cowboy boots in the operating room and became sought after by patients he promised to heal. Instead, he left a trail of broken bodies. This season is about a doctor who was never truly held accountable for the patients whose lives he ruined. A story of greed, betrayal, and a fight for justice that will leave you questioning who to trust. Listen to Dr. Death, the Cowboy, wherever you get your podcasts, or binge the entire series right now only with Audible. Instacart is designed to make life easier and give you time to focus on what matters most. It connects you to thousands of stores across the United States, allowing you to shop from your favorite spots with just a few taps. Whether you're prepping for a backyard barbecue, planning a summer beach day, or handling a last-minute hosting emergency, delivery through Instacart lightens your load. You can order online or via the easy-to-use app to have quality items carefully selected and ready for pickup or at your door in as fast as 30 minutes. One of my favorite things about summer is all the fresh produce. My family can't get enough watermelon, sweet corn, and heirloom tomatoes this time of year. But our favorite foods are only at their best for a short window. With Instacart, you can get peak season flavor delivered fast. And shoppers care about getting your order right, so you can be confident that you're getting the best quality items every time. Instacart brings convenience, quality, and ease right to your door, so you can focus on what matters most. Download the Instacart app now and get groceries just how you like.
I've never stopped having hope and have faith.
On December 6th, 2023, after 12 hours of deliberations over 2 days, the jury in Renard Spivey's murder trial reached a verdict.
My heart is, you know, I'm emotional. I don't know what to expect.
And found him.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Team Spivey.
Not guilty.
I fall to the floor crying. Boo crying. My attorneys helped pick me up, my family, you know.
Very emotional.
Yeah, oh.
Renard's sister, Renee, was relieved.
I'm wanting it to be over with because I'm concerned about him. I'm concerned about his well-being, his life, how he's handling this.
But she says there were no winners.
She lost her life, and I was feeling for her, and his life would never be the same.
On the other side of the aisle, Patricia's family and friends say they couldn't believe the jury's decision.
I'm numb. I do not believe that she received justice at all.
I feel like I held my breath and then not guilty. I don't understand how they got there. I didn't believe him.
Renard's attorney says the jurors just weren't convinced beyond a reasonable doubt that his client was the one who fired that gun.
I think it was very important to the jury that the prosecution never proved whose finger was on the trigger. And it's very important because the prosecution has a burden of proof. And the gun was so important. The fact that it's such a dangerous design of a gun that will go off so easily.
There just wasn't enough evidence to disprove his story.
Since the trial, Patricia's family say they've had a hard time processing their loss.
Felt like it was way too soon for me to be at her funeral. Facebook has these memories, and just seems like every other day pictures will come up. I think about the times that, you know, we shared, the good times.
My mom was still important. Like, she was important to me. I just miss that unconditional love. I have no anchor. Like, she's gone, so she was my anchor. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm hurting, so I know how they feel. Actually, I would like to, you know, come to their family, go to their family and say, hey, look, you know, I loved her, you know, and they knew that. It's no doubt in my mind that they knew I loved Patricia Marshall.
Renard says since his acquittal, he has been active in his community.
I work for an organization and I volunteer for Healing for Hoodies. And we feed the homeless every Sunday.
Leaning on his family and friends.
A lot of the officers, a lot of other people, we knew that you didn't do that. We knew that you would get, you know, found not guilty. We know you. We know your character. We know the type of person you are.
Man, appreciate it. God is good. God is good.
But he says he still misses his wife.
You remember stuff that she used to like. You remember the music. You remember the food she liked. You know, what color dress, certain things she liked. You remember all that. So every day, it's a challenge. I'm still, I can't sleep at night. I live with it every day.
Join me Tuesday for Postmortem from 48 Hours, where we'll dive even deeper into today's episode and answer your questions about the case.